Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a smoker. I don't know about where you are, but it's going to be above 50 degrees. We got our January thaw predicted for this weekend. And you know what? There is not a better reason for you to get out and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, you nailed it, man. You nailed it right there. If your back deck was full of snow because you were a lazy dog and didn't shovel around your grill, you got no excuses now. I know that stuff's all gone.
Yeah, a little icier earlier this week, but even that's gone now. And speaking of ice, did a little ice fishing this past week, Bob.
Did you?
Yep, went out with my buddy Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery. And as you guys know, if you listen in, Chaz is a world competitor when it comes to ice fishing. We just went on a little lake here in West Michigan. And by golly, if he didn't catch some big old 14-inch crappies.
Really?
Man, yeah, and he got
seven. So he's not all talk, huh?
No, he's not all talk.
Nice.
And you know what? I was sitting
You're trying to improve your ice fishing skills a little bit then,
right,
aren't you?
And I was sitting close to him, and I wasn't catching 14-inch crappies. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So the man does have some skills. But anyway, came back in and made some crappie cakes out of those things, where actually took the fillets, chopped them up a little bit with the breadcrumbs and a little bit of Old Bay seasoning, put an egg or two in there. And then I put those things on the smoker and let them smoke down till they were crispy on the outside. Oh, man. It's just like a crab cake recipe, only I made them with crappie and diced that stuff up. I'm tell you what, that was fabulous. Just better than fried.
Who better to do it than you?
Right.
Crappie Joppy making crappie cakes.
Yeah, that reminds me of Rob Russell. I don't know how he's doing, but anyway.
Yeah, well, the Crappie Joppy was one of your first names because Hoppy Joppy set well.
Yeah.
You don't like hoppy beer, so.
Right. But we're going to explore that a little bit later in the show, too, because we got our friends from New Holland in today, and you're not going to want to miss what we're going to talk about, because not only do they make fabulous beer and spirits, they also have a restaurant called the Knickerbocker that is amazing, and we're going to dive into that a little bit because it's just not your average grub and pub kind of place.
Well, I had an especially interesting start off to the week, and you ended up joining me, but we had to feed 300 guys for our steak night at Impact Church, and I got this new grill, this new smoker, so I said, okay, I'm just going to smoke all these loins. First of all, Sobe sold me some nice ribeyes, and then he bound them all back together after they were seasoned, so it was still like a whole loin.
Right.
And then I put them, it's got all these stainless rotisserie racks, so I thought, well, we do prime rib all the time, so it'll just be like a prime rib, and then I'll pull it apart. Well, it was cold enough that it didn't get up to temp. I didn't overwhack the charcoal box on this thing. It's an American Barbecue Systems Judge, and it's probably only one of the fifth or sixth times I've actually cooked with it because I got it right at the end of the year, and it was a challenge. I learned a lot of things, and one of the things is when there's 300 steaks. And we had to pack them all on those racks.
Well, there was 12 racks that rotate in this thing like a carousel. It's on the inside
right.
of it, right?
So when there's,
and every one of those racks was full of
right.
loins.
And when there's that much, I mean, it's just like baking a prime rib if your oven's full of prime rib.
Right.
So it's not, you're not going to get your normal time. So, I underestimated the time, thinking an hour and 45 minutes would do it. No, it's going to be like 3.5 hours next time if we do it that way. But you came out. Bruce Mikoff came out because he goes there
from Garrett,
to help
yep.
out from Garrett's Appliance. And Brandon Molinix from Modern Photography. And so there was four of us out there choking under the canopy in smoke. So they weren't ready in time. So fortunately, that judge has grates that go over the firebox. So we just started pulling them off and grilling them over the live coals. And that's why I still don't have any hair on my knuckles.
Yeah, it's going to be a while for that one going back. But
it was
there's a couple things that I'll fill in a couple blanks is that thing was so full of meat. I mean, there was every inch of every rack, and those steaks were packed together. There was no way that core temperature was ever going to get up before the outsides of them were overdone. So it was good that we grilled them.
Yes.
But the other thing is that when we opened that firebox on the smoker, it's an offset smoker. When you open that firebox, the first thing is oxygen just floods in there and hits those coals, and they turned red hot and start shooting up about 12-inch flames. And
well,
the grates were only about 14 inches.
But when you put
coal.
Those greasy steaks on top of it, it helps them a little bit,
right.
too.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's, ribeye, it's got a lot of fat in it, right? So we were throwing those on there, and we both had elbow-length gloves on and just trying to keep the flames down. We had two guys, tipping water on that. It was a little bit of a goat rodeo.
My goal was to screw them up this year really bad so they didn't invite us back.
Yeah. Well, we have the right to
say no.
But we don't generally. Yeah.
All right. I'll flip Dan Boone on to you next time.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all good. But, lesson learned there, I think more than anything, is that we've said this before and we broke our own rule, and that is don't try something for the first time when you need to perform. Right? We had not done that before.
How else are you going to perfect it, though? When are you going to get to put that many steaks on that grill?
So? But it should have been a smaller little bit of
practice on 300 with your family.
Right.
That's what he's really saying.
The family rebellion.
I tried a new technique this week. My wife, after church Sunday, she goes, I got some steaks. I'd like to do some shish kebab, which means would you cut up some sirloin and marinate them and, make me dinner. That's translated Maureen code right there.
Is that it?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that sounds good. Shish kebabs, love them, right?
Right. Well, and your wife's Lebanese, so
yeah,
that's pretty much heritage.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. And she goes, isn't there a way you can do it without having to skewer them all? Because I don't really want to skewer them, and I don't want you to have to do it. And I'm like,
Just went from shish kebab to stir fry?
So I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. I got some baskets and stuff. I could throw them on in the grill loose. So what I did was I took – this is actually better than skewers because you don't have to skewer them. I had beautiful chunks of sirloin marinated in about 6 hours in Charlie's recipe. And then I had a bunch of my last three Vidalias, which are precious if you love onions, right? Chopped them all up, threw them in a Ziploc, let them go 6 hours. And then I got some of my nice barbecue baskets out and pans with the holes in them. And I put that stuff on my grill just in those pans. And I was kind of flipping them. One's that mesh basket, so you can literally just flip the whole thing and nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. So I did the meat and the onions in that. And then I threw in a bunch of green peppers. And then at the last minute, I threw in, so I took that stuff off. Then last minute I did green peppers, and just for like a couple minutes, I did a bunch of grape tomatoes. Cool thing is, you're not piercing the tomato, which always kills it in a shish kebab. You don't have to overcook it to stay with the meat.
Right.
It was actually the perfect way to do it. So I'm going to say I may never skewer another kebab again. This was the perfect way to do it. And everything was exactly where you wanted it.
Sure, cooked wise, as far as doneness. Yeah,
yeah. So absolutely. What I need now is about a 3-foot by 2-foot basket so I can just put the whole thing on the grate.
Right.
Because round appliances for a grill don't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know who the guy ever was that thought of that. That made a round pan for a square
grill,
right?
Yeah.
Every one of them are. Well, anyway, hey, there's your next $1 million invention, Barbecue Bob. Well, coming up next, we have the pleasure of having a couple guys from New Holland Brewery. And we got Joel Peterson, who's on the sales and marketing side. He's going to talk about some cool stuff. And then we got Chef Dale, who you aren't going to believe what this guy's got going on at this restaurant. It's unlike anything you've heard. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.